The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right. 10:03 on ESPN 97.5. Me and Del now. So if you want to call in, 713-780-3776 is the number, 713-780-3776. Rockets with a nice win last night. That's their sixth straight. They are actually 7-3 since the James Harden trade, but they're 6-2 since Oladipo arrived. So that's pretty good. They lost their first two, and they've won six straight now. They got Oklahoma City again tomorrow night, and then another road game at Memphis, back home, two more road games, back home, three more road games. Man, they got this is a tough schedule. It's a tough schedule for everybody because you're basically playing every other day. But you know what? They're holding up pretty good. And this minutes now, it doesn't seem like they're load managing, does it?
No, they don't have guys who need it, although we thought Wall might be the type.
Wall and Boogie.
But his load management is he'll miss 2 weeks and don't come back and play.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no. It's not a worry. I know Russell Westbrook had to deal with that, even Chris Paul at some points. But you got a bunch of guys that who are hungry to play basketball because they haven't been playing it for a while, or a lot of guys who see this as their big chance on the roster. Guys who wouldn't normally be playing in a rotation, but they see a shot here. We're going to keep talking about Jayshon Tate, but even a guy like Brown, who has been the back end of the Milwaukee rotation for a while, throughout his career, now, depending on the game and the matchup, plays big minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and playing pretty damn well. Jayshon, from the get-go, has played good ball. David Nwaba has fallen off. Never heard of a David Nwaba before, and he's fallen off. But no, you're right, Sterling Brown. Ben McLemore got some second-quarter minutes last night, which was unusual for him, although they did jump out big. Maybe that's why. They threw in Ben McLemore, but he played okay. It's nice. Everybody's back. Eric Gordon had a nice game, especially from three. Good to see him and filling it up. This is a fun team to watch. They pass the ball, move it around. It's the anti, you know, just like you get a David Culley after you have a Bill O'Brien. Now you got the exact opposite of a James Harden team, and you know what? And it's enjoyable now, and winning now. This stretch of teams that they're playing, you have to take it with a little bit of a grain of salt. But let's face it, I mean, they got slapped around by the Lakers, but there aren't a lot of great teams in the NBA. Look at the Bucks last night losing again.
Yeah. This entire season is going to be one where I'm not sure you're going to know a lot about most of these teams unless you're looking at the Lakers and the Clippers at this point. I mean, the Sixers are the number one seed in the East, and they still have their questions because of their history. And the Bucks are a team you expect to be good. But from night to night, this season, I don't know what you'll know about any teams. I think teams are just hoping to be in somewhat of a good position when they make the playoffs, and then they'll take it from there. Yeah, but for the Rockets, we know they're not a title contender, and you can accept that. But as you watch them play against teams that they are – of like talent-wise or just like in terms of what the expectations are, why not do what they're doing? It's better, clearly better than the alternative when they were, what were they at their lowest? What were they, 4-9?
4-9?
Yeah, 5 games under 500, and we're like, what's going on here? They get some health with Christian Wood being on the floor, Wall, and then Oladipo.
And they're 10-9.
Yeah, so we'll see. But so far, they're entertaining. I think if people start to watch, they'll root for them, and then you'll just enjoy it. The expectations aren't high, and then if you happen, maybe you're like the Mavs of last year. You don't have a star like Luka, but maybe you make the playoffs and you give a good account of yourself as a 7 seed. Who knows? It's a far cry from what they've been in the past, but it's a year of transition. If this year of transition means you're making the playoffs, then you decide on the future. But for now, I would say enjoy the way your team is playing.
Yeah, the only team hotter right now is the Grizz, who you've got coming up, and they're doing it without Ja.
Well, I think he played.
Has he come back?
He played last night against the Spurs.
Oh, he got back?
Yeah.
All right, so Well, he had been out, right? Yeah, he just got back. Oh no, he's been back for two games.
Okay,
two games now. He's playing against San Antonio, both San Antonio games. But they're playing well, and the Rockets, the two hottest teams. I don't know that either anybody's scared of either of those guys, but it's fun. It's fun to watch. It's fun to watch them move the ball. It's fun to watch a different brand of basketball than just dribble. From Steve Francis on, I've been, oh my goodness, this organization with the ISO ball has just been so hard to watch. You want to root for them. And obviously when they make a run in the playoffs, it's awfully nice. And when they won the 65 games, it was awfully nice. But there was always in the back of your head, it's just not fun.
Yeah, I wonder how much of that is went out throughout the fan base. Because I know some people love that Rocket team. And the winning was the biggest part of it. But people love James and his style of play. Not everyone. You're one of the people who didn't. But he was a star in this town. Not only just because he scored a lot, but people love the threes, the isolation, the blowing by guys. That is entertaining for some, not for everyone. I would wonder how many people who don't call, who don't tweet this show, who are just flat out Rocket fans. You're like, yeah, I love the way James played. I love all the cooking. I love the step back threes. It was exciting to watch that dude go to work.
Well, it was. At times, it was just unbelievable. Some of the things, I mean, we put the team on his back, though, and just, he was incredible, incredible sometimes. But then he had, then he was James again. I don't know, for whatever reason, he, at the biggest moments, he just turtled. And whatever. I don't know if they've got a guy. That's going to be the thing. Remember Portland? Was Portland the second game of the year? Whatever it was, when it was just back and forth, and James versus Dame, and they were going at it, and the Rockets end up losing. James threw it away in the paint at the end of the game. It was one of the first games of the year when James was playing hard. When James actually cared. The first three games when he led the team in scoring, and then after that it was Operation Shutdown. That was just so unbelievable to watch. You wonder, now, I wish he didn't have his hands on the ball at the end of the game. That is going to be a question. Is how are you going to go about it? Are you going to stay the same team? Are you going to move the ball? Are you going to just, with 10 seconds left, John Wall's going to dribble it at the top of the, just outside the, inside the half court? Is that what's going to happen?
It's the NBA model, and you never understand why, considering how good you can look offensively, running your actual offense. John Wall has been a one on a team before, so you would not just a point guard, but just a lead guy on a team before, so you would assume he'd get it. But you would hope that without a bona fide first team, second team NBA player, you just run your offense. And sure, you can identify a matchup, maybe get a switch Christian Wood on a big who can't stay with him, and maybe you go with that, or you set a ball screen and maybe Wall's on a big, and now you have Christian Wood on a small. I don't know. You can still incorporate simple things to get your best matchup and then let one of your guys go to work. But I just hope it's not a, all right, 10 seconds to go, let's take the last shot, dribble, clock running down, find the best shot I can, and see if I make it or make or miss situation. Run some offense.
Yep.
Why not?
Although, if you've got a name in the league, then you're the guy that's got to put it on your shoulders.
I know. Though. It happens all the time.
It's a macho league, that's for sure.
And it's a league where the coaches just accept it. Even coaches who've been around a long time, we won't even call a play. LeBron, I get it. But, wouldn't it benefit LeBron in some occasions to run some offense?
Well, even Michael passed it to Steve Kerr or
a double team.
John Paxton.
He would make a play. But I don't remember those plays specifically of whether offense was run or did they just collapse on Michael because he was about to beat his guy. But it's usually, if it is a driving kick, it's because your elite player beat a guy off the dribble and you're making a pass. And that's offense, I guess, but it isn't running a play. It's it's your best player doing something great. And that's what the Rockets always talked about. Why would we take out of James's hands? You see what he does when he has the ball in his hands?
Yep.
That's why we keep it there.
Right. I mean, that is our offense anyway. So we're running our offense. Somebody tweeted out, no, it's going to be different. Steven Silas is actually going to run a play. They're actually going to run a play. Yeah. And it's going to be for the guy that has the best matchup.
I hope so.
That would be nice.
I hope it's that. I hope it's not, hey, John Wall, you happen to have the ball in your hands at the time. Go to work.
You have the biggest name.
Yeah. I hope they're right.
1013 ESPN 975 7137803776. Anybody wants to get in, open line. So you, anything you want to talk about, you're more than welcome to do that. We'll get back to this Deshaun thing on the other side. Where's Dan Cilio's story? I haven't seen it yet.
Well, did he give you a time like Gilbert
did? He said this morning.
Well, it's still,
the Raiders trade is over.
It's still morning.
Well, we'll see you on the other side.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.
Without more.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Dan Cilio, who's a got a radio show. I used to listen to him when I was in spring training with the Astros. Dan Cilio says that said yesterday Deshaun Watson would not be, that his agent told the Texans that he would not be attending off-season workouts. David Mulugeta, who is Deshaun Watson's agent, retweeted it and said, I can tell you this is absolutely not true. I have not done that. So you got to believe David Mulugeta, since he's the one that is actually, that Dan Cilio was talking about, and he actually knows what he's done. Now, if it turns out that he has, and he's just making Cilio look bad because Cilio did not ask him or did not have, you know, his permission to tweet that out or whatever, then poor Cilio. But Cilio doesn't look great. Cilio said he would have big Raiders and Texans news this morning. Hashtag Raider Nation, hashtag We Are Texans. And thus far, nothing. I listen, there is no news this morning. Gilbert predicted the Jets at 3 o'clock today. That's when the trade would go down. We'll have to hear from Gilbert. Maybe he can call into Josh's show.
He does call into other shows now, so.
He does?
Yeah.
Perhaps he could call into Josh's show and he can give an update at 3 o'clock.
I hope we do have an answer. Whether Mulugeta is simply trying to make Cilio look bad or Cilio is wrong, I do need one of those two, depending on the outcome, to take to Twitter again and tell us. Cilio can say, oh, like, the information fell through, looks like I was wrong, or Mulugeta wants Deshaun as a Raider, or Deshaun doesn't show up for training camp or any of the offseason stuff. All right, Cilio was right. I tried to make him look bad. I need that. I need an end to this back and forth.
Well, I would like, well, what about Gilbert and his? And
well,
Gilbert's right.
Well, Gilbert can always call in if he's wrong, or he can call in like Trader Jeff did earlier and say, put some respect on my name.
Yeah, I don't know who I trust more in this process.
I would trust Gilbert more.
I kind of do trust Gilbert more.
If I'm taking him or Cilio, I'm trusting Gilbert.
Yeah, what about him or Trader Jeff?
Trader Jeff just wants credit. He wants you to appreciate what he said because he believes
he wants
five first-round picks are on the way, or at least that's the value. And as you and Lance...
No, seven.
Well...
Because the players are going to be...
If you trade like Aaron Donald, you'll get two more, right?
Right, or Carson Wentz will get you two, apparently.
Yes, apparently.
No, I don't think he gets it.
No.
You're going to have to send two first-rounders with Carson Wentz.
In the NFL. If you have a player who plays poorly, a team will give you two first-round picks to take on his bad contract. I don't know if you know this.
And a huge contract.
Yeah, you may need to
pay. Poorly, can't get out from under it.
Got bitch for a rookie.
Yeah. And but he's gonna get you two first-rounders.
Yeah, pay attention, John. Okay. Pay attention.
Okay.
So just respect.
Well, now I'm trusting Gilbert more.
But as you two astutely pointed out, the value isn't what Schefter thinks Deshaun Watson will get or deserves the Texans deserve for him. It is what a team is the teams are willing to give up. That will determine his value. And is a team willing to give up the 5 first round picks over the span of like 6 years if you're not getting 2 in the same draft? Seems unlikely.
Well, the 5 come in now with the 2 defensive players that John McClain says they're getting.
Oh, is that a Texans proposal or a McClain proposal?
Pretty much. Here's another story. Here, Yahoo Sports, Jason Owens. Texans reportedly have a hefty price in mind to start Deshaun Watson trade talks.
It's McClain's price.
It's that. McClain's. I mean, and nothing, you know, nothing against Sean McClain. He's obviously close with the team. He's been covering it for, you know. But this is his, not the Texans. Not the Texans. Okay? He was the first to report there would be zero chance of them trading Deshaun Watson.
He would be the coach before then. Would you take McClain as a coach over David Culley?
Then we wouldn't have 3 African-American head coaches. We have John McClain.
Will we have a younger head coach? How old is McClain?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know how old John McClain is. I would imagine they're in the same neighborhood, I would imagine.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, no, McClain's been doing it for a while. Yeah, 45 years in the NFL.
He graduated from Baylor in 75.
75, so...
That's 45 years ago, right?
58.
46 years ago now.
So he 50. Oh, from Baylor? Oh, yeah. 22. Yeah.
He's older than Culley, probably.
Yeah, older than Culley.
About a couple years older.
Yeah. He would have been born in 53, I think, in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
So he's older than Culley. So we'd have it. Well, no. I mean, that's a plus. But Steven Silas has ruined that whole thing anyway.
Yeah, it's how come they couldn't have hired his dad?
Yeah, Paul Silas would have been
perfect. We would have had a really the oldest group of coaches in all professional sports in one city, setting records.
By the way, I was giving my buddies the business yesterday. Oh, Steven Silas sucks, huh? Okay. Oh, he's in over.
Your buddies say a lot of dumb things.
They do.
Like.
They do. I'm disgusted with it.
Are they saying it when they're drinking? And is that the excuse?
Yeah, we were wasted.
Oh well, okay. You can't take anything they have to.
No,
say.
No, that's the only time they actually make any sense
when they're drunk.
Yeah,
that's because you're drunk.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. David is here. What's up, David? What you want to talk about?
Hey, guys. I thought D'Antoni was an offensive genius. Man, this Silas guy, you can see the difference in the way the Mavericks are not the same team without him being the coordinator of their offense. I think what you're seeing is just a glimpse because they haven't had enough time, enough practice to really get this down. But as they play, as Boogie Cousins gets his legs more, coming from the kind of surgeries that some players have, this team's going to be scary, and I don't think it's by no means a year that, you know, oh, well, you know, they're fun to watch. I don't think people are going to want to really play this team because Steven Silas is for real as far as being a coach.
You know, I'm not going to poo-poo that, that's for sure. I mean, the Dallas is not the same without him. He was a huge part of their offense. He was their offensive game coordinator. The Rockets look awesome. Here's a problem with the way the Rockets used to look is that what I heard from behind the scenes is D'Antoni he let James run roughshod. James was the boss. There was really not much coaching he could do because it was whatever James wanted to do. He had to play Kate James, otherwise he wouldn't have his job. He made a lot of money because James, you know, he don't want to get on the bad side of James because you saw what happened to Kevin McHale. So I heard behind the scenes that Mike D'Antoni wouldn't stand up to him, would not stand up to him. And you know, I could certainly understand it. I'm going to keep these paychecks coming.
Yeah, he's not standing up to him. Daryl Morey handed the reins over to James. What was D'Antoni going to do in a fight between him and James Harden as far as control over what gets done? He's going to lose.
Yeah.
Daryl Morey didn't take out an ad in the paper talking about how D'Antoni changed his life. James Harden changed his life.
Yep.
He was going to lose that battle.
Yeah, it's true. You got to fight both fronts, right? Because you got to play Kate the star. And he really doesn't. John Wall is a star, but not really since he hasn't been on the court for how many years. But Boogie is a big name. Playing for $1 million.
These are a lot of guys, maybe the entire roster. We heard some complaints from Eric Gordon and, well, and most notably P.J. Tucker about role and money, but a lot of guys who don't have a lot of leverage as far as that is concerned. Yeah. A lot of guys who these are proving years. Boogie, I mean, he's been around forever, but he's still a guy who would like to have a good year and turn that into a big contract.
I mean, he's playing for $1 million.
He's 30.
That's minimum.
An NBA star at 30 has like 3 or 4 years of max money available if he was actually a max player. Boogie's looking, he won't get a max deal no matter what happens this year, but he's looking to prove to the league and himself he can still play it and turn that into a bigger deal.
This is his Alabama. This is his rehab year.
Rehabs. These are a lot of guys on the roster who are in that mode.
Yep. Well, right. Ben McLemore has definitely rejuvenated his stock, no?
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, somewhat.
Yeah, somewhat. I don't know what
he, I don't know how much Boogie will either with, you know, we'll see.
What he's doing, but he's only, like I said, Boogie's only 30, so he's got another contract in him if he can prove that he's still capable.
Yeah.
So it's a different environment completely. And to his point about being scary, I would like to see it more. It's only been a 6-game stretch. We'll see how it plays out, and we'll see what happens when they play. See, the regular season is weird. If they play the Lakers and it's a Lakers team who's had a day or two off and the Rockets are off on a back-to-back, what does that prove? Oh, I would like to see them in a stretch before I make grand proclamations against better teams.
Yeah, that's what I want to see. You know, and they'll be coming up. Some better teams are going to be coming up. You've got Miami.
They have a history of being a good team this last year. Not a good team this year.
They're
right
going to Memphis next game. Actually, tomorrow. They got Wednesday and Thursday, so it's a back-to-back at Memphis.
Yeah, Memphis won
seven in a row. So they're playing good basketball. Got Ja back. San Antonio's not really good. You got them back here. Charlotte's not great. New Orleans isn't great. Miami's not great. New York's not great. Washington. Fact of the matter is that there's a lot of bad teams in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, teams that you thought would be good aren't playing well, and you throw Toronto on the list as well. They're not playing well, and then you mention Dallas is the other one that sticks out besides Miami, and the rest. I mean, you're not gonna besides Denver, 5 through whatever in the West, the Rockets are right there with them as far as record wise and maybe talent wise. I mean, I don't want to call the entire league Jags, but it's like right now a bunch of Jag teams. That's it.
They go to Philadelphia, which is a good basketball team, February 17th, which, by the way, is the first day of Lent, Ash Wednesday.
I guess, oh, well.
So I'll be able to see the game clearly and be able to talk about it coherently the next day.
So we should look forward to that.
Yeah. Now, that Wednesday morning?
Be polluted.
Not so much.
Yeah, you can be polluted. You got to get it all in. Is it a Knicks, always a Knicks experience?
We end up at Knicks place, midnight, doing shots.
Wait, you have a show at 7 in the morning. You're going to drink it at midnight?
Oh, yeah, because that's the last drink you're going to have is at 11:59.
Right before midnight.
That's it. 11:59 is the last drink you're going to have. So I will be foggy, to say the least. I will probably say something inappropriate.
As compared to normal days?
As opposed to... Well, no. See, here's the deal is most every day is like this, only that's even more exceptional.
So you believe during Lent, you'll be your most appropriate because you won't be cloudy to drink.
Yeah, people, actually, I'm not nearly as much fun. Not nearly as much fun.
That's what your drunk friends tell you because they're still drunk.
No, they don't hang out with me. My wife thinks it's just sad.
I would tell you.
My friends won't hang out with me during Lent.
It is sad. I would tell you you're not fun at any day.
Well, you don't know. You don't see me drunk.
I've seen you drunk. It's not fun for me.
Yeah, no, it's great for you. Del!
No yelling across the room. Come have a drink.
Come on. You want a beer?
You want a beer? Have a Coors Light. Like, no, it's not fun for me.
It's great fun for the whole family.
I'm sure.
1029 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, so who was Danny Amendola? Was he on with Nick Wright? Was that it? Yeah, I think it was with Nick Wright. Danny Amendola was on, asked about the Patriot way. And here's what Danny Amendola had to say about the Patriot way.
Well, first things first, and when you see Patriot way in the dictionary, it's going to have Tom Brady's name next to it. None of those coaches threw any passes. None of those coaches caught any passes. None of those coaches made any tackles. They got guys in the right position because they watched a lot of film and they spent all their time at the facility. But Tom Brady is the Patriot way, and that's the reason why Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl right now, and the Patriots.
And the Patriots aren't.
Yeah, I got cut off.
So I agree. They were great all these years. Yeah, I mean, the Patriot way was, listen, they did a nice job getting rid of players before they at their peak, and as opposed to on the downside of their careers. I thought maybe a few times, maybe a little early, obviously. I mean, there were some guys that still had Richard Seymour. It seemed like Ty Law and Lawyer Malloy. Yeah, I mean, it seemed like there were more than a few guys that still had. Stephon Gilmore is the only really free agent that I can think of that they paid big money to.
Yeah, as far as guys who weren't quote-unquote troublemakers, like they brought in Randy Moss and Corey Dillon.
Right, yeah. Those were, those are rehabs.
Yeah.
Right, for their careers because of how many bridges they had burned. But, yeah, they did a nice job there, but they didn't do a good job in the draft. They were actually pretty bad in the draft.
You look at that roster, and sure, opt-outs played a part, but that's a roster that's not that talented.
Even with all the guys there, they wouldn't have been. It was 12. It was all about 12.
Yeah, I mean, he allowed them to be that frugal when it came to free agency and also to be looking to get rid of guys before a normal team would. Like, a normal team would say, no, we can't get rid of that guy. He's one of our best players. But when you have Tom Brady, you can play on the margins like that and go younger and not pay a lot because he's a guy who covers up everything.
Right. Well, and I heard Jeff Saturday this morning was talking about this very thing, and he was like, no, man, they're both great. Just because Bruce Arians wins the Super Bowl or Andy Reid, they're not going to be the greatest coach. The greatest coach is still the greatest coach. And Belichick, you know what? They did go 11-5 with Matt Castle at quarterback. They did do that. Remember that one year? So it was, it's all Belichick. Well, maybe not.
Yeah.
Well, I mean and then there was this year.
They were 11-5 when they were still, drafting well. They had a very talented team, and Brady would be a difference between being a talented team and winning a Super Bowl. As the talent level has decreased, you saw it. You saw it last year. There was no brilliant Bill Belichick. Did he revolutionize a defense last year or an offense last year to keep him in games? Did Josh McDaniels do that? No.
Nope.
You had a broken down Cam, but one of their issues was acquiring a talent, and they didn't have a viable backup. Jarrett Stidham they didn't want to play him. Despite how bad Cam was, they knew that Jarrett Stidham was not the answer. They have a talent problem on that roster right now.
And, I think Brady brought a culture to Tampa. He wasn't the best quarterback this year. No question about it. He had a great year, though. He was good. He was really good. He wasn't great.
No.
He was good. Well, and
40-12, and three of those picks came Look, Brady had a bounce back year. A lot of that had to do with, better talent around him.
Yeah.
Because people thought, oh, Brady, what? He ended the year throwing picks to close out his career in New England. He probably feels a bit rejuvenated away from New England, and he's feels a lot better throwing to Mike Evans and when Chris Godwin would actually catch the ball.
The greatest pass catcher he's ever seen?
until the playoffs.
Yeah, until the playoffs, he's been terrible. I think
you could say that would Tom Brady have won 6 with someone else? Probably not. But am I to believe that Tom Brady wouldn't have won multiple Super Bowls someplace else? No. I believe he would have.
I think they were both in the right. It was the right place.
Was it set? Is it 65-35? Who you give credit to more? 65 yeah, Brady, 35. Yes. Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Yeah, Brady, great player, and and Bill Belichick was able to maximize the guys around him because he had a great player at quarterback. You roll out with Matt Castle for a decade and see how many games you win.
Yeah, I mean, just listen. I'm going with Brady on this one.
You know,
I have for years.
Searching for a quarterback can kind of short circuit your franchise, because if you never have one, you're always looking for one. He never had to worry about finding a quarterback. He never had to spend draft capital. He did on Garoppolo, but he never had to search for a quarterback, because he knew he always had that settled. He could always work on other things. That's important too. He never had to deal with finding one.
No, and he knew that dude. Hey, that dude was coach on the field too, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the difference between not having him and, you know, and Gronk talked about it. He said Arians is on the offensive side of the ball. Belichick was never on the offensive side. He was always on the defensive side of the ball, always working with the defense, that's where his expertise was. He let the offense alone, and that's what Arians does over there. But he said, and you can be yourself here. And you know what? I think the whole thing wore on Brady. He talked about it. He said it. It was he's gotten out of there, and he seems to be having as much fun. You give him a shot
in this game against the Chiefs.
Yeah,
I do. I mean, we talked about it quite a bit. Why we felt good about the Packers, considering what Tampa did to them in the first game, and it kind of played out, particularly with the pass rush. Shaq Barrett had a nice game. The Chiefs bombed away on Carlton Davis and the Bucks early,
mm-hmm.
but as I said before, the Chiefs like to play with their food, and all of a sudden it's a 3-point game, and the Bucks lost by a field goal because I think maybe they gave up a first down. They couldn't get the Chiefs off the field. I give the Bucks a chance. I think the Chiefs at their best win that game by two scores, but the Chiefs now have offensive line problems. And now they may not have a starting center because he's on the COVID list right now.
Fisher being done.
So that would be multiple starters on an offensive line who's already beat up and already had to mix and match, now gone. That could certainly change things. Now, Reed and Bieniemy are creative. They'll find a way to get the ball out of Mahomes' hands. But, yeah, I give the Bucks a shot. I mean, I still take the Chiefs.
I thought for sure Aaron Rodgers was going to beat him, and it just – he keeps on winning. Brady just keeps on winning, It would not surprise me at all. And here's the deal is, yeah, that defense is pretty good. They weren't good against the Chiefs in the first game. That defense is pretty good.
Yeah, I that's what I said. Their ability to get after the passer could pose problems for a Chiefs team who has an offensive line that
– And how's his foot?
Well, he looked okay against the Bills. And now he has a couple weeks off, so you would imagine he'd be better. Who knows? I don't know if it's going to be a chronic thing for him. Robert Saleh said, don't let Pat Mahomes and his old man jog fool you in between plays. That dude does that on purpose. He was being interviewed talking about trying, I guess, you know, because he played him in the Super Bowl last year. I think Pat Mahomes will be okay. It's a question of whether they can keep guys off him. Because if they do, Tyreek and Travis Kelce will both go for 100 yards. They'll do what they do. It's a question of how many times can the Bucs get after him and make enough plays to limit drives. But of course, why? I've seen enough of Brady in my own division to understand to not go into a game saying no, he can't win. Why would I say that? It's dumb, and he has a good team around him too.
Yep. All right, it's 10:42 ESPN, going on 10:42 ESPN 97.5. News of the Weird coming your way next right here. Don't you go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Del, one of your English football managers is in a little bit of trouble.
It's not my manager, I hope.
Stuart Baxter?
I don't know who he is.
He's currently in charge of Indian side Odisha.
How is he one of my English football managers?
Because he's a soccer guy.
That doesn't mean he's one of my guys.
That's one of your people.
No, he's not.
If he's a soccer guy, he's one of your people.
All right.
Apparently, he's frustrated because he can't get any calls. You need decisions to go your way, and they didn't. I don't know when we're going to get a penalty. I think one of my players will have to rape someone or get raped himself. He's going to get a penalty.
Yeah, I don't think raping someone would help you get a penalty call for your
team.
Well,
you might get a call if you're that aggressive.
Well, against you, but he's looking for calls for him.
Well, if he gets raped, too, he's gonna have to
you know what?
Rape or get raped, he said.
Look, I don't know how it'll be approached in the media circles there, but I know generally equating not getting calls to rape.
Yeah.
Going to go poorly in the United States.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I probably could have used something else.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad look for that guy, I think. Maybe India is more accepting of that type of talk.
Yeah. So there's a couple of stories here. Hitler's toilet seat that was looted by U.S. soldiers during World War II up for auction. Dell, how much would you pay for Hitler's toilet seat?
Is it gold
seat?
Or something? Is that was
no, it's special? Just a regular toilet seat.
I don't...
Well, Hitler sat on it.
So?
Dropped deuces.
That doesn't... I don't care.
Drop bombs.
That's... No, I don't... I would pay nothing for it.
It's expected to fetch around $15,000. With a starting bid of $5,000.
I understand trying to make a profit off of it, but I'm not going to be the one you make a profit off of. I'm not buying his toilet. I'm not buying anyone's toilet.
Are you sure this was Hitler's?
And what's the proof that it is Hitler's toilet?
I don't know. It has a satirical anti-Hitler newspaper clipping. I don't know. It looks old. It does look old. Of course, it could have been from...
Could have been anyone's toilet.
Yeah, it could have been anybody's. So, Sun Prairie middle schoolers. How old are those? Those are 6th, 7th, 8th graders, right?
Junior high?
Yeah, junior high. Middle school. Sun Prairie asked how they would punish a disrespectful slave.
Oh, gosh.
In ancient Mesopotamia as part of a social studies lesson.
And what did the kids respond with?
A slave stands before you. This slave has disrespected his master by telling him, "You are not my master." How will you punish this slave?
Isn't the whole teaching about those situations about why it's wrong, not what you would do if you were the master? Is that what we're doing? If you owned a slave, what would you do to that person to get him in line is what they're teaching?
Yeah. The school says a small group of our teachers developed and used this activity, which was called a grave error in judgment in an email.
Look, I'm going to say something that might offend some teachers. Why are some teachers so stupid? It's self-preservation not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know any better than not to do that. I feel bad for our youth.
Yeah. No, it's bad. Monica, Louisiana. There are some issues there. Who knew? A rape suspect being accused of rape hired two men to kill his victim so she could not testify. But instead, the pair killed the man's sister and another woman.
Oof.
And a neighbor.
So, just to clear it up, a man accused of rape, hired someone to kill the person, and then for some reason the guys he hired killed his family members?
Yeah, well, apparently the two women who were shot to death were attempting to protect the rape victim and fight off the killers. So,
but the
instead of killing the victim who's going to testify, his sister got shot and the neighbor got shot.
So his sister, was close enough to his victim. She obviously believed
apparently
the victim, not her brother.
Maybe, yeah, they were friends, and he raped his sister's friend or something.
Oof,
yeah,
what an awful story. Look, news is weird. It's supposed to be a little jovial, John. What are you doing?
Well, it's
that's
just
a
ironic,
dark, ugly
isn't it?
Story.
It's just a little
it's still
ironic.
Two
there's
people.
Irony.
I would say the women who died were heroes. That they're out going doing that to protect that woman, and they died. John, we gotta get something a little lighter.
So here's a little story. Joel Flaville was hit by a car on March 1st last year. He's been in a coma for 11 months. What does he not know anything about?
The pandemic.
He does
no
not.
Idea.
He was like, what?
What's going on?
What?
Huh?
He missed it.
What are you guys talking about?
You missed it.
Yeah. Do we? I don't know the medical background, but when people wake up from comas, they don't know that time is expired, right? They just wake up and like, oh, I've been asleep. Or do they have some sense? Because we hear like, I heard you talking to me. So do they know that they've been out for that long?
Apparently, no. I think you. Hey, I'm up. What time is it?
When was it?
You mean what month is it?
When was it? January?
What year is it? March 1st.
March 1st. He probably was like, all right. The conference tournament time is about to start. He's like, all right.
Well, he's from England, probably.
Oh, he's from England. Yeah. Well, so, well.
Probably was, doesn't care about our conference.
How's Arsenal doing?
Who was it that didn't lose last year?
Liverpool. Did Liverpool. They almost didn't lose. Is Liverpool still undefeated? No. They did win the title, but no, they're not undefeated.
We're in a whole new season.
Yeah, sorry.
A little irony here. Kansas drug treatment clinic owner. Guess what he's been charged of?
With drug dealing?
Well, yeah, he's a drug trafficker. Well. A rehab center. He owns a rehab center. And he was indicted by a grand jury last week for felony possession with intent to distribute meth, coke, heroin, fentanyl, and ecstasy.
Built-in clientele.
Yeah. I mean, right there.
It's not great for
As they leave, he's like, here's my number.
It's not great for the people who are trying to recover, but it's great for his business.
I know you.
Yeah, hey, look.
Listen, when you need it again here.
Look, I get it. You're trying to clean it up, but in a month or in a couple days, I'm here for you. Don't worry.
Apparently, feeling a little disconnected in a world of virtual meetings, events, and lectures. Apparently, this student tried to contact his professor, only to learn that his professor had died nearly 2 years ago.
Ooh.
Wait, I'm in your class. How could you be dead?
So, it's an old professor, right? He was like, oh, let me check up on this guy who I really liked. And it turns out they're dead. That has to be the story, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. People die.
Yeah. But 2 years? You thought he was your professor? He's dead 2 years ago. That's a little shocking.
Maybe he's more disconnected than he thought.
Dell, Valentine's Day is coming up. Best state? Best and worst states for being single? Where do you think Texas rates?
As far as percent? What
for
is that?
Being single. Best states.
Best states is, let's go. Well, Texas is open. You can go out and meet people. If that's included in the projection, I'm going to say eighth.
Second.
Okay.
Florida's number one.
Well, wide open.
You can find a meth head there anywhere. Okay. Texas is number two. Congratulations, Texas. We're number two.
So it's in Texas, it's good to be single on Valentine's Day? Or is that really no correlation?
That's really good. So are you happy that you're in Texas for Valentine's Day, Del?
No, because why? I would have to... Isn't Valentine's Day you spend a lot of money on someone?
Yeah.
I'll meet you on the 15th.
You want Muslim Valentine's Day?
I guess. Shout out to Raheel. Yeah, I don't want to meet anyone on Valentine's Day. I just met you. I got to take you out on Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
That's awful. Speaking of that, John, 12 days away. You got plans?
Yeah, I'm going to be in Mexico with my wife.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That'll be a good time.
Well, we'll be coming back from there.
That'll be a good time.
We're gonna do a night. We're gonna do a little trip.
Make sure you're in that COVID range too, right? Where you have to take that test and be considered.
Yeah, I gotta take a test before I come back.
Yeah,
6% of people say they are going to watch the Super Bowl naked.
Who?
Well, in underwear or nothing at all. Del, you're single by yourself at home. Do you think you'll be naked watching the Super Bowl?
No, I don't walk around my house naked. Even though I could, there's no one at home. I would be wearing probably, depending on the weather, some shorts and a t-shirt or maybe some sweats. Why do I have to be naked for this or in underwear?
Because that's what they said.
No.
Because they're going to be, because there's no Super Bowl party, so I might as well just be naked.
No, I don't want to watch football naked.
Yeah.
I've never watched football naked. It's not my thing.
There's
some.
Who's your favorite player? You never.
No.
Never watched
no, I've never.
Never?
I've never. My favorite player doesn't reside on Kansas City or Tampa, so I won't feel the need.
What if it was the Dolphins?
If the Dolphins
every touchdown. You're...
No. No. Those are two different emotions for me. I don't get aroused when the Dolphins score touchdowns. No.
You sure?
I get excited, but that's a different excitement.
Speaking of excitement, McDonald's is bringing back the Shamrock Shake. You excited?
I've never had one. Was it just a green shake?
I don't know either. It's green, and so I don't like to drink anything green ever.
Yeah, I'm not a big dessert guy anyway.
Bright green.
No, I'm out.
I don't know what is. It's vanilla soft serve blended with Shamrock Shake flavor.
What does that mean?
I don't know that. I also got Oreo cookie pieces in its. I guess Oreo cookie pieces in it. And Oreo Shamrock McFlurry.
I'm sure it's taste. Ooh, I'm sure
Oreo Shamrock McFlurry.
Yeah, now. I'm looking at it right now, but I would have to actually go to McDonald's, and I never go there.
No, me either. All right, 10:56, ESPN 97.5. We're done. It's the Press Box next right here. Don't you go anywhere.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.